It's Power Hour LSU.
God, dude, 18 times we have lost to the Cox on Valentine's Day. Dawn Staley gets her 500th win. Dude, I watched that game just like all of you. I felt watching this game that South Carolina played better. We were right there. They didn't play a whole hell of a lot better than we did. We played really well. Shout out to Flage with one of the more incredible final flurries we have ever seen from any individual athlete at any level of any LSU sport. But she misses those free throws. They were the more sound team. I felt like they got easier buckets. The times that we were able to get buckets, it was mostly in transition. And I don't know if we're ever going to beat South Carolina. There are times where there are just things that you're never going to do. Never. We're just never going to beat Dawn. It's just written in stone. Maybe we get him in SEC. Maybe one day we magically beat them. But to this day, I've never seen anything like this for a coach as legendary as Kim Mulkey. Some of it is bad luck. Some of it is just the greatness of South Carolina. This is one of the best college programs in any sport that we have ever seen. And we're just a step behind them. And it's okay to admit that. They are a better team. They are an overall better program. And we're trying to get to their level. So it is interesting. Obviously, Latson was a player that we were after in the offseason. The Florida State transfer who we beat in this arena last postseason, and she didn't really have that big of a game. You saw Kim Mulkey screaming at her team, who can guard Tessa Johnson? Raven Johnson is just one of those do-it-all players for South Carolina that for some reason always plays amazing versus us. She's also been in college longer than Perry Ellis at Kansas. But I don't know what we're going to need to do to beat these South Carolina Gamecocks. I just don't know. You know, Malaysia Fulwiley, it was a tough game for her. I don't think anyone's truly shocked by that. We know South Carolina was going to come out very inspired versus a player who obviously transferred from their program, shockingly, to LSU. Fulwiley did some good things defensively, a few good hustle plays, but there were a few shots in the paint that we would have liked. The truth, though, is it is great that we have this program. And the overarching thing about tonight is that we are just a step behind South Carolina, and they are probably a slight step behind of UConn. Whatever. But take out South Carolina, and you take a look at this team, we have not been good in close games. This is just true. During the Kim Mulkey era, LSU gets very, clunky in close games. We get tight. The possessions get stale. The possessions aren't as creative. We're not as free-flowing. And part of it is we're such a good team in transition. We have all these amazing Flage layups that looks like Justin Jefferson on a basketball court. She moves to a different speed and a different rhythm than everyone else on the court. But outside of those fast breaks and a few other decent half-court shots, we really struggle in the half-court offensively, in particular when we play these better teams. And this is something that has just happened. You know, you go back to our national championship run, how many games did we play during that run where it was truly neck and neck all the way down until that final whistle, that final buzzer? Really, it was just Utah. And that game was absolutely insane. So we have got to be a better team in these close, tight, when the game really matters type of situations. But I'll tell you this, I don't think we played terrible tonight. I don't think any one of us would say that we played bad. Did we play good enough to win? Yeah, I think we played good enough to win. But when you're playing the best program, when we're trying to slay that final dragon, you have got to be able to choke them out. You do. And that's just how these things work. And before we get to all of your comments, I do want to address, shout out Jay Johnson, great start versus Milwaukee. Shout out Lane Kiffin. We're going to share your, some Mardi Gras photos a little bit later. Obviously, we're a football first channel, LSU women's basketball second. But as you guys know, as the season moves on, we continue our LSU women's basketball coverage, and we actually ramp it up quite a bit. And this was a game that I was excited about. Obviously, a week and a half ago, I went on my own to go see Texas play LSU, and we saw the same thing, where in the fourth quarter, we were, you know, not playing well, throwing the ball to the other team. And if it wasn't for Flage, we would have been run off the court towards the end of that game. So, obviously, some positives. Flage, truly elite. I'm not really worried about her, even though she missed those free throws. She has a different type of will. I think she will be just fine. I don't think those free throws are going to haunt her. Obviously, Bella Hines was a nice add in that third quarter. It's not quite been the sensational season from her. That was kind of expected with so many good guards on this team. She played really well. I thought overall the LSU bench could have been used a little bit more. I thought Grace Knox did some good things. But, you know, I still do like this team. I do. Can they make the Final Four? 61% of you right now say no. Okay? And a happy Valentine's Day to every single one of you. Let's get to a few from our members first, and then we'll get to basically everyone else. Okay, LSU Monster, good to see you. Let's go to a few other members, Jamie, and then we'll get to everyone else. Free throws, yeah, I mean, that was, you know, most people are going to focus on Flages, but I mean, they were so much better from the foul line than we were. And we just can't have that, especially at home trying to win a big game. Let's go to Jay Wade. Mulkey's been getting out coached all season in big games. Find the lie. Yeah, I don't know if out coached is the right way to say it because, you know, we split with Texas. And obviously we lost that game. The end of the Vanderbilt game was a mess. We were on the road, obviously. Kentucky, that's a close game versus another great team. They hit a big shot to win that one. And then we lose this one. And, you know, we could say coached, out-coached, all those different things. But, you know, the truth is Kim has got to be Dawn Staley. It just has to happen. You know, it's one of those things where you might think Kim is better than Dawn. I think so. It's at least close. I think it's harder to win natties at two different schools than just at one, but that's not here nor there. But it's one of those things, right? Like Federer and Nadal. Nadal was better versus Federer, but I think most would say Federer is an all-time better player. You know, it's a weird thing. It's a weird thing. But to your point, we struggle in close games, and that's where it is late game execution. What are you going to do offensively? You know, let's just say we won this game. Let's just say Flaugier hits us two foul shots. We take the one-point lead. And for those that didn't see it and you're just tuning in now, you might have had a few Diet Cokes today during Mardi Gras. So basically, this is how the end of the game played out. We were down by one. We had a hellacious possession. Flaugier had two superhuman rebounds. And eventually she does get fouled. So we get a lot of momentum off of that. We not only get the two foul shots, one of South Carolina's best players, Edwards, fouls out. So now we're to the line to take two foul shots to take the lead with roughly 30 seconds left to go. And Flaugier misses both of them. And I say roughly 30. It was like 45. And, you know, Raven Johnson does Raven Johnson things, and they take a three-point lead on the other side. And we have an opportunity to tie the game. Flaugier had a good look, and it was a bad miss. And that was basically it. That's how that final minute played out. This was a really well-played game. I thought, you know, Kim did yell at the team, hey, who can guard Tessa Johnson? You know, it is a little concerning when we play these elite guards. And obviously we all know the one example where this kind of played out a few years ago. But take that one example out versus, you know, that all-time great player. When we play an elite guard, they can have career nights. You know, we had the Texas guard a few weeks ago, you know, just kind of take care of business. The best player in the SEC is number one for Vanderbilt. She dominated us. Obviously, Kentucky had the buzzer beater to beat us, basically. You know, we have got to do better versus these other great perimeter guards. And hopefully that does change. Let's go to Ronnie. Tough loss. South Carolina just played better away or on a neutral site. Probably this game is not that close. Yeah, Ronnie, that's what really sucks, is that we did have the crowd. You know, this was a very good crowd. There's a lot going on. You know, we talked about Mardi Gras, talked about baseball opening weekend, but the crowd was amazing. You know, we had that extra juice. We heard Tessa Johnson. Well, I heard her say this at Click Live, like right when she was beginning her post-game interview with Holly. And yeah, I was also screaming. I'm trying to be subdued because you guys are so used to me in football post-games just going absolutely berserk. I kind of want to be a little bit more chill for women's basketball. I'm not going to lie. I am pissed. I'm so damn competitive. There's a piece of me that just wants, like I would take us just going to a Sweet 16 if we would have won this game tonight. We have just got to beat Dawn Staley at least once. I want it on Kim's resume so bad. We have got to find a way to beat Dawn Staley. I don't know how we're going to do it, but you know, it might be that we need to bring in a mental coach for us to get over this hurdle. Let's go to Big Dex, who watches a lot of women's basketball. Jada didn't have it offensively tonight. Yeah, let's talk about Jada Rechart. Love her. But, yes, it would have been nice to hit that midi in the fourth quarter. But, you know, if you're going to win this game, you're probably not expecting a first-year full-time player to go out there and win it for you. You need your experienced guards and players to go out there and win it for you. And look, love me some Mikayla Williams. Tough night. Tough night. Now, it's kind of hard to, you know, get in a little too hard at Michaela, considering that she's been so great this year. She in particular has been good versus Texas, but, you know, tonight was not her night. But the bottom line is what we can control, which is the end of game situations, we could have been better. We could have been a lot better. Gamecocks are the best, yeah, for right now. No doubt about it. Larry, been with PHL for years. I put that loss squarely on the shoulders of Kim Mulkey, just horrible coaching decisions. Yeah. I just don't understand why we did some of the things versus Tessa in the first half. And maybe I'm just not smart enough like I am in football to say we should do this or that, but I think a lot of us are having flashbacks of when Caitlin Clark was just continuously destroying us. And it wasn't the fact that Caitlin was destroying us a few years ago. It was, why are we keeping Haley Van Lith on Caitlin Clark? Like, she was going to beat us regardless of what we did that night, but we should have done something else. I don't know. I just don't like it that we're getting these career nights in these big games quite a bit. Let's go to Nicole. Bad shots, turnovers, and missed free throws. So let's go to the actual box score here. Man, like, I am so dejected. 79-72 final score. Scoreline obviously doesn't tell the story of this game, but it also kind of tells the story of LSU South Carolina. I mean, with less than a minute remaining, we were to the foul line, 73-72. How do you magically lose a game 79-72? Just doesn't make a whole lot of sense. It just doesn't. We take a look at the team comparison stats. It's to the far right of your screen. Let's see if we can make it a little bigger. And you can see it's pretty even. Field goals, the exact same, basically. Field goal percentage, the exact same, basically. But this is where it starts to get weird. Three-pointers. We were 2 of 12. South Carolina was 8 for 17. Free throw line. South Carolina 15 to 17. LSU was 14 for 23. Turnovers about even. Were there times we were sloppy? Sure, but it's mostly a clean game regarding that. It didn't help that LSU in this game, Okot 11, had herself a pretty big game. 17 rebounds. That's ridiculous, especially considering that nobody else for South Carolina had more than two. That doesn't even make sense. Like, I don't even know if I'm reading that correctly. One player had 17 rebounds. And as you can see, Raven Johnson had 7. But still, that is a ridiculously high amount of rebounds. But then go to LSU side of things when it comes to the box score. Joyner had a few good, easy buckets. We decided to go small. You know, you can make a case that we could have played Koval a little bit more to counteract what Okot was doing, considering Koval's a little bit bigger than Joyner. But, you know, I don't know. Bella Hines, once again, bright spot, 6 points. Grace Knox had a few good moments in there. Obviously, there's going to be questions if Bella Hines should start playing a little bit more. But yeah, you know, I want to defend Jada. This is like the first big, big, big South Carolina game for her in this many minutes. But 1 of 10, 7 points. In 30 minutes, it's not going to get it done. But she was 5 of 6 from the foul line. We'll take that. Tough night for Flagey at the free throw line. It's tough. It's tough. Jay Wade says Michaela still isn't in peak condition. Yeah, I don't know. I wish I could give you an expert opinion on that. But, you know, I will say this was a game where both teams decided to really stick with their starters. 4 of 5 starters played 30-plus minutes for both teams. But I swear, Raven Johnson, I was still in diapers when Raven Johnson began her career at South Carolina. Jay Wade says, I love her game, but she fades away in the fourth quarter of a highly ranked game. Well, I don't think that's necessarily conditioning. I think it's just mental. I do. Now, the next thing I'll say as far as LSU is concerned, you take a look at what's next for them. They still have a lot in front of them. The one thing, though, and this is kind of just how women's basketball is, but it's really hard to get better at playing in these close games if you never actually play in close games. 79-72, your final score here. 77-44 was their game versus Auburn. And then versus Texas, that game was close. Alabama blowout, Arkansas blowout, Florida blowout, Texas A&M blowout. And you notice these games aren't even remotely close. We blew out a good Oklahoma team at their place, and then we played Texas, close game, blow out Georgia, then 2 close losses. So you could see we have only won one of these close games. That's it. And that was versus Texas. And that one was also at home. We simply don't get enough reps in these close game situations. And you get into a debate. Is it bad close game luck? Some of that is probably true. Flagey normally isn't a 33% free throw shooter like she was tonight. But I think if you actually sit and watch a lot of these close games, and I'll be honest, it's a weakness for me. When it comes to these blowouts, I don't sit and watch them. It's really hard. Sometimes it's my schedule because I work calling college hoops at the JUCO level. But sometimes it's just, you know, when you're really blowing somebody, I mean, these games are 20, 30 point games. It is so hard when you then get into games where everybody's palms are sweating. Once again, we played 0 close non-conference games. Not a single one. Duke, we started off slow, but every other game was versus not great teams, and we beat them by 30. Let's go to Carvis. Welcome back. We did not make our free throws, and they did. That's a good point. At least we're playing UConn next year, and I don't care if we get skunked. At least we are playing somebody in the non-conference. Let's go to Reed. Think about who is our number two player on this team that helps Flagey. Nobody. Yeah, I wouldn't say nobody. I can't say that with Michaela having a good season, but it wasn't a good game. You know, when you look at Kim overall as a coach, she doesn't play a deep bench. So, especially in big games. So, if your starters have tough games, it's hard, right? Like, you know, you go to the you know, I'm referencing the Natty run again, but that team was a bit deeper. So, you know, if Angel didn't have a good game, he had LaDeja Williams, you know. But that team was also just better in big spots. They just were. And, yeah, you know, we talk about Alexis Morris quite a bit here. You don't have that go-to point guard. But I also want to point out the positives that was Flauje Johnson. Okay. Let's get to a few more. Let's go to Dex. Another thing that drives me crazy, we miss too many point blank layup shots. Yes, you're right about that. Look, and by the way, I didn't update this member's number. We have actually gone up. So once again, hit that membership button. Because we lost, I want to give out something for our next YouTube member or patron. Why not? We'll give out a Jaden Daniels card. Next member or patron, Jaden Daniels card. If you do the Patreon, I'll send an auto too. But I do want to bring up something about the layups. There's just more missed layups in women's basketball. It's a tougher shot. You know, it's a longer distance shot than in men's because, you know, the women aren't as tall and they don't jump as high. And, yeah, it could be very frustrating to watch that unfold. I do think a good chunk of these point-blank layups were a little bit better contest than what it looks like from where we were sitting. Obviously, the game is moving so fast. Crowd is juiced up. You miss things that you normally just hammer in pretty easily. But I don't know. I don't know. I'm trying to be positive about this because it is just a regular season game. But, you know, it's one of those things. I don't care if we win the Natty. Obviously, I do care if we win the Natty. It's just also one of those things that where you're like, God, I want to beat Dawn Staley just one time. She breaks my soul every single time. It really, really, really does. Good to see Reed back in here. Yeah, we made that point a minute ago. Good to see you. Reed doesn't listen to my football takes anymore. He and I would get into it a little too much. Huh? All right. I do also want to publicly say this. I appreciate every single one of you sending me congratulations on my runner-up in the slam dunk contest. But I don't need the joke anymore. There is a player for the San Antonio Spurs also named Carter Bryant. I was the original. Because it reminds me that my original goal was to play in the NBA. Now, that's what every kid wants that's ever picked up a basketball. But someone else named Carter Bryant did it. And he's way better at it than I am. Oh, man. Surviving motherhood says we're never going to beat Dawn. I agree. Until I see it, I don't think it's going to happen. Do not think it's going to happen. Ronnie, I'm telling you, I'm with you, Ronnie. My wife was like, hey, it's Valentine's Day. Love is in the air. No, it's not. Not I'll be honest. I actually get more into women's basketball than football because during football, I'm normally like thinking about the film study I got to do the next day and all the work that goes along with it. But as far as like just yelling and screaming, well, I will say some of these Brian Kelly games this last year had me going pretty nuts. But yes, I will say the women's basketball gets me so fired up, dude. I don't know why. I love it. All right, coming up next, we'll do everyone's favorite segment on YouTube. It is PHL Live.
Let's Power go. Hour Network listeners and viewers, you might be consuming this content with that crick in your back that you've been trying to get rid of for so long. Take this as your sign today to book your appointment with LabordTherapy.com. In the Lafayette region, there is no one that you will find that cares more about any different type of pain that you might have than the team at LabordTherapy.com. Book today. Once again, that's LabordTherapy.com, or you can visit one of their five locations all throughout the Lafayette region.
All righty. What did Lane Kiffin tweet today? Of course, co-grand marshal of my favorite Mardi Gras parade, which of course is Endymion. Here's old Cookie. Lane Kiffin with some legends. What's up, Haley Bryant? That is probably the coolest shirt I've ever seen that Haley Bryant has on. Good stuff. Spot the ball. Jay Johnson gets it done. Monster Milam. Got the 10-run rule yesterday. LSU baseball also wins today. Lane Kiffin says, finally a win. So the last four games that Lane attended, LSU-related, they lost. This was Lane's first win while in attendance. And there you go. This was a fit that Lane had on at Mardi Gras. Odell. Love to see it. Grand Marshall, Portal King head coach. That's a cool graphic. And there you go. That is what Lane Kiffin tweeted today or over the last 48. Let's keep it moving. South Carolina played average and still won. This was our shot. I mean, it was there. It was there for the taking. They did not play their best. And we also didn't play our best either. And look, this is a stat that happened. We didn't have a single one of our starters shoot over 50% in this game. So there you go. Could we have played Koval a little bit more? I don't know. But just, you know, when you play South Carolina and your point guards do not play great, you're going to run into so many issues. Full Wiley, 1 of 8. Jada, 1 of 10. So 2 of 18. When they are on the floor, they are the ones handling the basketball a good chunk of the time. 2 of 18. You're just not going to win. Unless someone goes superhuman, which Flage did tonight. And we still didn't get there. And I think a lot of that is just the home crowd. I mean, it was so loud. I had quite a few friends at that game. There were so many texts. Carter, it is deafening in here. And, you know, I tweeted out that this atmosphere reminded me of the best game I've ever attended at the PMAC, which was Maya Moore and UConn and Geno versus Van Chancellor, Sylvia Fowles, and LSU. It was so loud in that arena. That was back in 2008. and it's 18 years later. Yeah, this is what Kim was probably debating, because it was a small sample, but Hines and Knox were so big in that third quarter. Do they deserve more minutes going forward? You know, it's tough. And then you get into how good is this team actually? It's really hard to say. It is really hard. Is the LSU women's basketball team of 2026, are they one of the 10 best teams in the country? Probably. I think most of us would say probably yes. But are they one of the top five teams? Probably not. No. No. And part of that is, yeah, we've blown out some good teams. We blew out a ranked Alabama. Blew out Duke at their place. We beat Texas earlier in the year. But Texas is the only game that was in reach that we won. If all your other wins are blowouts, then you're not going to be ready for the NCAA tournament. You're not going to be ready for the SEC tournament where the games are close. You see, baseball and softball are different. Most of your games are close. Most of them. Football, especially now in the SEC, most of your games are close. So I would say to the poll question, LSU will make the Final Four. I would lean towards no. I would. Now, I do want to touch on LSU baseball just really quickly. I wasn't able to watch a game. I had women at college basketball duties today. So I'll mostly speak on the game yesterday. Obviously, Monster Milam, those clutch hits really got us going towards the end. He had the walk-off, and then he had the big double to really get us going to pull away from Milwaukee. We all love the Creole Bambino. All these transfers from small schools, small sample, but they look good. And I'm not worried about Evans or anything like that. But it is truly amazing that nothing quite touches LSU baseball magic. And we were losing in this game to Milwaukee. I just did not ever think we were going to lose. We're not losing on opening day. And it's to the point now where LSU baseball, when they don't come back and win when they are down by four or whatever it was, it is more shocking than if they do. And it doesn't matter if it's Milwaukee. It doesn't matter if it's the 1926 Yankees. LSU baseball is always going to come back. They might not always win, but they're going to do some magical you-know-what to get us back into the game. So, whatever the case may be, LSU baseball still has that magic. Really excited about this team. And then, of course, Lane Kiffin at Mardi Gras. Holy crap. You really can't beat the vibes right now with Lane. You want to know why Lane took this job? Is because the things that you can experience in Louisiana are truly one-of-one experiences. Now, I understand. Well, did you know that Mardi Gras was founded in Mobile? Yeah, I've been told that a gazillion times. A gazillion times, okay? But think about this. I want to show you this this clip from LSU football. And you tell me if Lane is experiencing this anywhere in Mississippi.
Thank you. This is awesome. This is an amazing day. I've never been to Mardi Gras. And everybody said it would be one of the most amazing days of your life, and it has been. So thanks so much for hosting us. Thank you for the team. And go Tigers! Go Tigers! Thank you, coach!
I know it's kind of tough to hear. but he said he's never been to Mardi Gras. And they were telling him, hey, what you're going to experience is like something you've never felt before. It lives up to expectations. And I'll say this until I'm blue in the face. Lane doesn't drink. I do. But it doesn't matter if you drink or if you're sober or if you're a heavy drinker. I'm not a heavy drinker, more of a social drinker. There's nothing funner than being on a Mardi Gras float and throwing beads. There is nothing. If you have the chance to do it, to join that crew, you need to do it. So shout out to Lane. I'm happy you got to experience that. Anytime I see anyone sharing footage of them getting to ride on a float in Louisiana, it makes me so happy. I haven't done it in a while. My New Roads Louisiana family, they do it all the time. And they do Mardi Gras every year. And there's nothing like it, man. This is a magical time. We need to enjoy these times. We do. Laissez le bon temps rouler. Whether you eat king cake or you don't, enjoy. But we'll mostly stick to women's basketball. That's what most of you want to talk about. Garvis got himself a PhD, and he upgraded his profile photo. It's all about matchups. Emmanuel's right, the draw matters. And look, yeah, I mean, you're right about that, Emmanuel. SRL8036, LSU cannot close out important games. They wait till the last minute against strong teams. Love them, but they drive me crazy. Yeah, I mean, we're never going to blow out South Carolina. But you're right. We knew this was going to be close. I think everyone felt in the pits of our stomach that because of our close game ineffectiveness. And I was, once again, I was at the game in Austin. We were right in it there. And in the fourth quarter, we just go crazy. Like, we just do things. Like, our shots aren't close. We're throwing the ball directly to the other team. I mean, these things just continue to happen, and it's frustrating. Now, to Emmanuel's point, the draw matters. It does. Oh, man, it does. You know, we've had some tough draws these last couple of years. We lost to UCLA. They were a better team than us. We almost found a way to get it done. Anissa Morrow is having a great European season right now, so shout out to her. And then Caitlin cooked us in a revenge spot, whatever. I'm worried about that. But you go back to our Natty year. One of the more underrated things that happened in that year was Indiana getting upset by Miami. Because, as many of you know, those kinds of upsets just don't happen. 1-8 upsets just rarely happen. And Miami beat Indiana, and they were the one seed in our bracket. And we eventually played Miami and blew them out. We won a very close game versus Alyssa Peely of Utah. She was a lottery pick, great player. And you know, that was a LaDeja Williams game. She was amazing. And then obviously we won the first two games. Those weren't anything too crazy. And then we get to the Final Four. Got lucky we didn't play South Carolina. We came back versus Virginia Tech, just dominated that second half. And And obviously the fourth quarter versus Vautech was tight, but we didn't – like we had developed a lead big enough where it wasn't like, hey, we really need to execute in like this final second. What's up, Brooke? Good to see you. Watching these LSU basketball games gets daily. South Carolina gives you the same feeling when Saban was at Alabama. Hammer versus nail. Yeah, I mean, I think that's right. And the only difference, and this actually strengthens your point, is we at least beat Nick. You know, we just cannot. I just don't think it's ever going to happen until I see it. There's a few. I also saw today somebody had an actual gator on bourbon, which is nuts. Now, I got to get something off my chest here. It's Louisiana related. It's basketball related. But I simply cannot understand when a legend of the game like Chris Paul retires, who put New Orleans basketball into relevancy, who began his career in Oklahoma City, was blocked of playing with by far the best player he had ever played with in his career, goes to the Clippers, Doc Rivers, who's a fraud. Then whatever happens with the Clippers again, loses versus Giannis in the finals, so on and so on and so on. The fact that in like these NBA discussions, it's always about ripping apart a man's resume. It drives me nuts. And I understand my bias is speaking because I'm a big CP guy. But it drives me so effing insane what people say about Chris Paul. When you actually look at the numbers, as a playoff efficiency performer, he really is up there with the all-timers. In playoff efficiency, he's up there. It's not his fault that Devin Booker forgot how to play basketball. But, you know, is he better than Isaiah Thomas? Is he better than John Stockton? Who gives a shit? They were playing Amazon warehouse workers in. Quit this nonsense. And I normally don't mind goat talk, but how many point guards of the past 20 years is better than Chris Paul? The answer is Steph Curry, and that's it. And I don't even know if I consider Steph Curry a point guard. Drives me nuts. Chris Paul did so much for Louisiana basketball. So much. And who was the best player he played with at the Hornets? Who was it? Was it Jamal Mashburn? Was it Peja Stojakovic? Was it Tyson Chandler? Was it David West? How many of these guys are even in all-time discussions? Are any of them in all-time discussions? Drives me nuts. But I was going to save this for later in the stream. I'm going to defend Chris Paul's honor at every turn. Another thing. I'm glad Drew Brees was a first ballot Hall of Famer. I will tell you this. I would have found every member of the Hall of Fame if they would have Belichicked him. I would have found every single one of them. And all of us thought, hey, in the back of our mind, they might be trying to do something like that to a top 10 QB of all time. Yeah, I know what you're talking about. I'm not going to go too deep into the CP3 stuff because I'm not an NBA YouTuber, even though I freaking love the NBA. I don't love it now. And but I will say that my final NBA chat, my final NBA thing, and now I'll shut the hell up about it. You really do need to be over the age of 35 to have this opinion. Are you really, really, really do? And I understand like Durant and Edwards and a lot of these guys have been pushing back against you know, All-Star Weekend and all that stuff. But All-Star Weekend was so damn important to me growing up. Like, it was so important. Culturally, it was big. Like, just in terms of the game itself, it was big. It really hurts that it's not what it is. And part of, I understand we lost tonight, but I'm actually glad that we had something, because it is depressing to us in our late 30s, 40s, and 50s. You knew how important this shit was. All-Star Weekend was so big, so big. But LeBron, let's be honest, a lot of this is LeBron. They didn't understand the importance of this weekend. It's not a big deal to them. And that's okay. Things change. We move on. Pro Bowl used to be something. It's not, but the Pro Bowl wasn't as important to the NFL as NBA All-Star Weekend was, because NBA regular season has always kind of been a drab. But we always look forward to All-Star Weekend. Vince Carter. I mean, the list goes on and on. So, yeah, it sucks. It really does suck. Like, it's not fun if you're a true hoophead and you really care about basketball. Sibley says the NBA is cooked because of Wimbiana. You know what's crazy about the Wimbiana thing is, like, so he was this generational rookie, and there's not going to be a rookie as good as him maybe in our lifetime, or a prospect. But this last draft class was better than the Wimbiana draft class. This next draft class is also going to be better than the Victor draft class. And with the way things are with the CBA and the aprons and all of that, it's going to be hard for any team to, you know, have the dynasty and all of that. So I get there's a lot of people that are saying, well, it's Wimby's league. I don't know. I really don't know, especially with the history of seven-footers and injuries. And obviously Victor had the health thing last year. You know, I cheer for the Mavs. Cooper Flagg's great. I'm not a Mavs fan. I'm a Pelicans fan. I do have a friend on the Mavs, though, so I want them to do fine. But, yeah, you know, it sucks. The dunk contest, it sucks, man. It really sucks, even though I was in it. Let's go to Sibley. Great game tonight. And I'm glad you said that, John, because let's just say you were a neutral viewer. It was still a great game. You know, what really would have sucked is if we would have gotten our asses blown out. But we didn't. It was good that a game on ABC for the whole of women's basketball, with game day being there, it was good that this was a competitive, fun game. Malaysia's no-look pass was sweet. Jada had a nice no-look pass. Now, if they weren't 2 of 18 combined, that would have been nicer. Yeah, Grant, it just doesn't hit. I mean, you saw what NBC did tonight. It put Olympic reruns in prime time. They didn't even bother. Sad. Okay. Let's get to some Kim Mulkey post game. I just love breaking down big women's basketball games. I love women's basketball too. Some of the most fun I have is calling women's basketball. Hopefully I'll be doing it soon for a major network. I don't mind being the next Ryan Rucco. I will say, I do want to shout this man out or have his name right here. Tonight, Cody Hastings was the head coach of the opposing team. And Cody Hastings was nice enough to come to our broadcast booth for the game I did. I want to publicly shout him out. And he said that he appreciated how good our broadcast is. So I wanted to do that. But anyway, back to what you guys care about. But shout out to you, Cody. I hope our kids are hurting. Our jobs as coaches is to make sure we get them back in the right mindset to win more games. They've done that all year. Okay. Let's get to this audio. This is Corey Diaz, by the way. Great reporter. Go follow him.
The way we guarded Tessa, we didn't do what we were told to do for 3 days. And you can't do anything about free throws.
All right. So let's start with that. The first part. Kim says we didn't do what we were supposed to do versus Tessa that we talked about for 3 days. So what specifically was it? I don't know. But we didn't do it. Okay, is that coaching? Is that players? Now, I do agree with Mulkey. There's nothing you can do about the free throws as coaches. I mean, there really isn't. You either make them or you miss them.
If you look at the stat sheet, I can't be too critical of many things. We didn't turn it over much. We out-rebounded them. We got to the foul line more than them. We're not, 2 for 12 from the three. You still have a chance to win the ball game. 44 seconds to go, you take the lead and make one defensive stop, and we'd be sitting there celebrating. This game is tough. And, yeah.
Kim did say she needs to play Bella Hines more. Let's go to Big Foe.
One play at the end, or it's accumulation of things that we can do better. And let's start with me and Michaela. You know what I'm saying? You know, go back to the drawing board, and we got to be better.
I like that her and Michaela taking ownership. We got to be better. But yeah, I don't like I don't think any of us are like just totally shocked by this. But it's just one of those things where we've just got to start finding a way to do better in these big games versus these big time guards. I don't want to hear so-and-so has career night. Let's look this up really quickly. Caitlin Clark had 9 three-pointers, which was a record for three-pointers in a game. And this would be my message to Kim, who's an all-time great coach, basketball Hall of Fame, statue, all those great things. Raven Johnson's so experienced and so tough, but I don't like it that their players tend to have these really, really, really big games versus us. Like that last play by Raven Johnson was just phenomenal. Tip your hat. But, you look at some of these other great coaches. You look at a guy like Bill Belichick. what is Bill always going to do? He's not going to let your best players beat him. Do I still believe in Kim? I do. Excited about the future. Not only this season, but Hines. And look, it is encouraging that we had all these five stars at the game. Caroline Bradley was there. It's obviously going to be important. You had other five stars there. It's really great. All right, here's what we're going to do. Next 5 to 10, we're going to answer as many questions as we possibly can. If you super chat, we'll keep this thing going. Now, I did say an hour in, and we're just not hitting the hour mark. I want to get to our bread and butter, which is football. So, you know, kind of a dead period. This is also a time where you want your football coaches to really enjoy their lives. I really do mean that. Because we're about to get into the grind of spring football. So spring football dates set for March, late March to be exact. You know, I saw Joe Cox tweeting out a photo of him eating crawfish. Obviously, we talked about Lane Kiffin on the Mardi Gras float. Kevin Smith also there. Kevin Smith's son also getting to ride the float. You know, the big story football related was something that had to do with someone on Ole Miss's team, the Trinidad Chambliss saying, we'll see what happens with Aguilar. Our schedule got harder this week. It got harder. Chambliss is really good. He's good enough to beat us on his own. Probably would have won the Heisman if he started the year for Ole Miss. He's that good. Now, is he so good that he's like bulletproof of all these environmental changes to his team? No. He does get Lacy back, sure. But you lose these receivers, you lose Lane, you lose Charlie. And now our schedule got harder, though. Doesn't matter. I would have much rather faced Deuce Knight than Trinidad. Obviously, with this going through the Aguilar case, the chances of Tennessee getting him increases. So our schedule got harder. Both these quarterbacks can move. Both these quarterbacks can throw it vertically. It's hard, man. It's going to be really, really, really hard to get through this schedule and get to the college football playoff, a 12-team college football playoff in a 9-game SEC schedule. You know, it's funny because I do think if we were to go, let's just say, 8-4 this next year, this 8-4 could have been a 9-3, 10-2 team in the early 2010s, where the schedule just was not this difficult. And it wasn't. The schedules we used to play were not as tough as this one. Now, the big benefit of that is you do have a wider playoff, and we don't have Saban's Alabama to play. So the schedules were more difficult back then because of the playoff being smaller, two teams essentially, and Nick Saban existing. But the overarching point is it is harder to win in the SEC now. It's harder. And then, of course, the second thing regarding football is you have these national insiders that are not stupid. I understand when you mention national reporter on, you know, more of a local team-focused YouTube channel. Some of you do roll your eyes, and I get that. But I don't find it coincidental that some of these national reporters get their hands on a 2014 playoff bracket. Here's the truth. I do not want a 2014 playoff bracket. I don't want Houston, who was very lucky to beat Oregon State, who was horrible this year. I don't want them in the playoff field. I don't want Arizona in the playoff field. They were the number 17 team. I don't want that. I don't need that. I'm good. But that's where we're about to get ourselves in with a 2014 playoff. And here's a good thing. When it stretches to 16, it helps LSU. When it stretches to 24, it helps LSU even more. A bigger playoff helps a school like LSU. It does. It helps everyone, honestly. But it really helps LSU because for a good chunk of our existence in the modern era, when we're not winning natties, we're normally ranked in those teen ranges. We're normally anywhere from that 5, 6, 7 range to 13, 14, 15, 16. So an expanded playoff helps LSU. I don't like it. From a neutral vantage point, I don't like it. But I do think it makes more teams happy, even though it does drastically change the sport that we love. So there you go. But that'll do it for me. We will be live. You know, one thing, before I go, I think Ryan Rucco and Rebecca Lobo are great. I do. Pierce, I need you to text me. I was getting ready to text you something, and for some reason, your number didn't pop up. I saw the funniest tweet I have seen in a very long time. And I needed to send it to you last night, but I didn't have your number. I do remember you're a green bubble, though. So you and Sibley are both green bubbles. Now I can't find the tweet. This was literally, okay, there we go. This is it. I don't know if it's an original tweet, but if it is, Curdy is my guy. If Daiquiri is spelled like Daiquiri, then why can't Zachary be spelled like Z-A-I-Q-U-I-R-I? Because that would be a better way to spell Zachary. I think about Zachary, Louisiana. That would be a better way to spell Zachary, Louisiana. Pierce, why do you put your hand on your head? Don't lie. That is a better way to spell Daiquiri. Curdy McGurdy, you are the GOAT. You're going to get this follow. Please tell me you're from Louisiana. No, you're from Chicago. I hope that was an original thought, though. You can get big on Twitter just stealing the viral tweets. That is a better way to. I'm in New Orleans next weekend. I'm gonna go and change all the signs in Zachary to spell it like the way it's supposed to be spelled. Think about it. Every time Tre'Davious Green scores a touchdown, you see Zachary spelled like that. There's a road in Ruston that's spelled Zachary. Oh, God. Z-A-C-H-R-Y. Crazy. Now, great live. I do want to share one thing. I'm trying to get back into like the absolute best athletic shape I can get into. And I went and full speed sprinted, not on a treadmill. I do that pretty often, just do sprints on a treadmill. But I actually wanted to go on like a track and run full speed. And I felt it briefly while I was running, but the day after, don't do this in your mid-30s, by the way. I'm glad I didn't rupture an Achilles or anything like that. But the day after, which is today, my neck is hurting. Now, how washed do you have to be when you are running against wind and your neck hurts? And it did not help that I had to call two games and it was a lot of this back and forth. Good God, dude. Literally. I don't know if I'm ever sprinting outside again. I'm not going to be able to go to sleep tonight. This whole stream, I have been trying to hold it in. When we missed one of those free throws, I felt like I pulled something again. But that's the thing, Pierce. I stretched every part of my body. Pause. I literally did the whole shebang. I didn't know that my neck would get hurt or would be sore. Sad stuff. It is Power Hour LSU. Boom. Tonight we are doing catfish fillets. Let's go.